listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace this day from Jesus the Christ, who comes to us in this season and always in grace and in peace. Amen. Friends in Christ, sometimes my 14, almost 15-year-old son, Micah, and I get into it. Sometimes Micah acts up, does something wrong, and I get angry. And I give a consequence, a punishment, and sometimes that consequence is twice as bad as Micah's acting up. I love my son, but I get mad sometimes. I lose my temper as I dole out punishment. And sometimes the punishment can go beyond the crime. And sometimes it's Heather, my spouse, after the dust from the dust up has settled, who comes alongside us both individually, privately, and helps us work out a consequence that fits and brings us back together. I'm going to preach on the first lesson today from Isaiah. We have to spend some time with Isaiah during Advent. Heather's very Isaiah-like in my little real-life illustration here, entering the scene post-dust-up to bring us back together. I know I've talked a bit about not sentimentalizing or sanitizing the Christmas nativity. You know, the porcelain figures frozen in perfection on our Christmas shelves and mantles. I read a little about that in our Advent devotion this last Wednesday. The devotion's entitled Lo, and it's about that, kind of the gritty side of the nativity. I mean, the reality of that. I wonder if maybe a similar thing can happen here with Isaiah's famous text because of Handel's Messiah. I wonder how many of you got that in your head when it was read. And I love it as much as anyone, by the way. But let's not miss Isaiah's grit and context for the glorious holiday royal chorus that for me has connotations of warm or hot cider and family and sweaters. There's even more to this text than that. Isaiah is a prophet of hope in a time of complete chaos and uncertainty, in a time of debilitating trauma, unspeakable loss, total despair, and in an era where God is imagined to have stepped away entirely. The people have lost their faith. If they know God at all, they have only known and experienced God as an angry judge doling out punishment. You see, Isaiah was written at a time when the exile and the captivity of Israel was well underway. Jerusalem has been destroyed. The entire nation was in the hands of foreign powers, Babylonians, then Persians. Why? According to 1 and 2 Kings, which we're studying right now, by the way, in our Tuesday night Bible study, we've been looking at these texts. According to 1 and 2 Kings, the reason why this has happened is because the people had fallen away from God. The people of Israel and Judah and all the people, the kings and all the people of the monarchy, have turned away from worshiping God alone. They've adorned the temple with extravagance, that's true. They've called it God's house. And as we talked about on Tuesday, in effect, it's an attempt to domesticate God. They've adorned the temple with some extravagance, but they've spent twice as much on their own palaces and homes. In other words, they've built many other temples, and their priorities had gotten grossly out of whack. It's the successful broker who gives $30,000 at his local place of worship each year and gets, by the way, all kinds of accolades for his generosity. But meanwhile, he's raking in millions in the spiking economic climate. He has several homes and vehicles and riches galore. And that's where the monarchy has gotten. The kings and their people have again gone after other gods. Stockpiles of money, military conquest, material desires, with massive corruption and political division ensuing, violence and slavery and adultery and fraud. Idol worship. That's what it all is. The people had curved inward, as Luther would say, not just gazing at themselves, just looking out for themselves. Remember the Old Testament loop? Talked about this over and over in our study. God blesses, people mess up, God gets angry, people repent. The entire Old Testament is in this loop of God blessing. That's always the first thing that happens, but then the people mess up. This is a text here where the people have messed up. And so Yahweh has crashed down total calamity. A double portion, Isaiah says, on the people. A double portion. Not only consequences raining down on them as individuals, but on them as an entire nation. The Babylonian captivity is a worse punishment for their actions than they ever could have imagined. They once had everything. Now they have nothing. But to make it even worse, now they're in exile. They don't just have nothing right where they were before. They have nothing and they've been taken away to a completely different land. And a completely new power has taken over. It's as if God's punishment is twice as intense as the crime. God acknowledges that. And they are feeling so abandoned by God. Enter Isaiah. I love when the prophet gets called. I mean, right in the middle of this cosmic dust up. You want me to go and say something in the middle of all this? I mean, you could just hear Isaiah's voice cracking. Can you imagine his fear and trepidation in all this? I'm supposed to step in and speak for this God? Who has rained down a double portion of consequence? And I'm supposed to step in and speak to this people that are this lost? That are this out of touch? I mean, okay, I'm talking to you, church. You who are listening. You who are hearing. You know, you and I, simply because we're here, if you're listening to this, you're part of this church. Because we're here, you know, we can be on the rocks with God. Our relationship can be a little bit splintered. But we could still be part of the church family in the midst of that. We can still be connected. We can still be praying and singing and involved. We can still be working through our stuff. But how many of us have been in a time in our lives, or maybe know countless people who are in fact currently in a time of life so far out of touch with the church, with God, with the community of the faithful, in a certain Babylonian exile, not even angry at God, completely unaware. It's not even in the consciousness. Indifferent. It's completely out of touch with an idea of a divine savior. It's not just a brokenness in the church family. It's a total separation from God. So far away. A double portion far away. That's tapping into the kind of people Isaiah was called to preach to. We made a movie in confirmation about the Old Testament prophets a couple months ago. And Sam had the description about Isaiah. I wonder if you remember that. Isaiah, he said, Isaiah was someone who was totally normal and boring and broken, but open to God's call. He was totally imperfect, but willing to go. And he goes. When Isaiah starts this passage today, he proclaims comfort. Twice. Comfort, oh, comfort my people. That is a powerful response to this double distance away from God. That proclamation of comfort is bringing the people back the double distance away. It's an undoing of the double divide between God and God's people. Do you see? Isaiah's song is reconciling. It's healing after the great dust up. It's more than that. It's bringing back to life what was dead. This is gospel business that Isaiah is about. This is Jesus stuff. Isaiah is crying out, look, people, look, here is your God. I know you feel far away, or maybe God's not even in your consciousness, but God is here. And even more than that, your God is good. Your God makes the crooked places accessible for everyone. Your God lifts up the downtrodden, welcomes the estranged, forgives the sinner, heals the sick, feeds the hungry, clothes those who are not covered by any blankets of security. Here is your God, even as the seasons change, even as the winter winds, the cold winter blows in and takes so much away, God does not blow away. God stands forever. God's word is here forever. Sometimes we have to climb up to a new place to remember this God. Yes, we have to stop many times. Stop our daily hurriedness and frenzy to notice, to see. But this God is all around us. This God is with you always. This God is deeply embedded in the stuff of our world, in every breath. And this God loves you. This God picks you up and carries you. That's Isaiah. That's our Advent prophet today. And then John the Baptist goes on to proclaim Isaiah's song many years later, practically word for word, because the whole thing happened again. The people messed up. The distance, the separation grew again. The people lost God, going after other things. Yeah, we do that too. And this God is here for us as well, even now. 2020. Our Time magazine arrived yesterday, and the title just said 2020, worst year ever. And this God is here for us even now. You feel like you've gotten a double portion of anguish lately? A double dose of sorrow, fear, loss? Isaiah and John the Baptist and Peter, friends, they reconnect us to, they point us to not just the God of the Old Testament, this God that gets angry, like I got angry with my son. It's not just pointing to that God of the Old Testament, but to God's Son, Jesus, who is the true bridge across the chasm of our sin and all our mess ups. Isaiah and John the Baptist and Peter, they point their bony old fingers toward the dimly lit stable where in a manger is shining the hope of the world, the forgiveness of all our mess-ups, all our dust-ups, all our hiccups. They point us to Christ, whose arrival we prepare for and celebrate again, whose drawing near is now. Rest in the assurance of that presence and love. Here is your God. Here is your God. Here is love. Here is peace at last, this day and always. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.
Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.